Let's say your small business has a problem. Like maybe one of your doggy daycare customers had an accident. You might say something like,
doggone it!
Hi, Chihuahua!
Holy schnauzers!
But if you need someone who can actually help, just say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And get help filing a claim from your local State Farm agent. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It makes sense for Rashford because he obviously will move away from Manchester, who's becoming a toxic environment for him, and it will be a step up.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
You're listening to OTB's Breakfast Bite. Yeah!
Mauro Itoje has emerged as a serious challenger to Ireland's number 8, Caelan Doris, with the coveted role of Lions captain to this summer's tour. Because he was named as England captain yesterday. And Jamie George was dropped as captain, basically. He's been named vice captain. And this is like, well, now he's England captain, he has to be Lions captain, does he? I mean, why wouldn't he?
Well, because he's not really done a huge pile of captaincy, I'd say, number one. Like, there's a bit of a default. You know, he's become this thing, ergo he must be in the mix of this other thing. And like, look, maybe he is, I'm sure. Like, it feels like Doris has been announced as captain, doesn't it? Like, all the chat about Caelan Doris as Lions captain, you know, without any sort of official confirmation or any chat from Farrell about it. But, you know, and like, Doris has not been doing that thing like an awful long time himself, so there's not as if he's got 10 years in the bank of, well, he'll obviously get it because... and Mauro Itoje is only 30 years of age, was one of the most amazing things I read this morning.
Wow.
Couldn't quite believe that.
He's only 30. So you're 30, surprised, yeah. Said, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, is Farrell more or less likely to give it to an Irish player?
I don't know. It's hard to know, isn't it? I mean, like, if he gives it, if it's an, a very Irish tinged team, then you probably feel like you have to give it to somebody who's not Irish to like make the whole thing work. But on the other hand, it's like, well, I'm going back to these guys. And they're my guys.
Mm. Well, absolutely. I think Doris will be a very good Lions captain in the sense that, like, there is a slight difference to it versus even the Irish thing. You know, there's obviously this big cultural thing and you have to be out and about and have your best foot forward. And as you'd said, you have a very polite person, certainly off the pitch, kind of dealing with people. And I'm not saying Mauro Itoje wouldn't be those things, but he does strike me as somebody who's very well-rounded and capable of standing in front of the suits and the, you know, various... contingents that'll come out and perform for them and doing a good job on it.
Yeah, I think Mauro Itoje is a phenomenal player, and actually it's mad that England didn't make him captain way before this. Obviously Eddie Jones had his problems with his leadership and would call him out publicly about it, but everybody else going, what are you talking about? Like, he's clearly our best player. So I actually think he'd be, I have no problem. Like, I don't feel a patriotic urge that, well, the Lions, I'm going to support them more with an Irish captain.
Oftentimes you hear the, well, he's a guaranteed starter as the biggest sort of, that stuff should be discounted. Like, there's more to it than that. He's definitely going to start, so give him the captaincy.
Well, you definitely need your captain to be starting.
Yeah, I would accept that bit, but I'm just saying that it doesn't, not a guaranteed, you know, just because you're starting. It often feels like it's the biggest, the meatiest chunk on the scales of, well, he's guaranteed to start, so.
Yeah. Well, you can't have your captain in the dressing room.
No, I get that bit. I'm just saying that because he's starting does not mean that he should be captain.
No. The Irish Times are doing a piece about which of the nines are going to be backup. So the options basically are Nathan Doak, who has started 8 of Ulster's 11 matches at scrum half this season, or Ben Murphy, who scored 7 tries in 10 games, 3 of which were last week. So it looks like they're...
Caelan Blade probably in the mix there somewhere as well.
Well, certainly they've really trusted Blade in the past, but I guess if Ben Murphy is keeping him out of the team in Connacht, now, is this going to be the most conservative selection ever? Or does Easterby get the opportunity to pick like 5 or 6 players and go, I'm going to get one chance at this, and they're going to love me forever?
Yeah. I think probably I would lean towards thinking that it'll be, I'm not saying it's the right thing, but it'll be the more conservative side of things. Like, I don't think Easterby is going to come in and rip up the playbook of where selections have been up to this point. Like, that's not part of the brief. You know, the squad lands and Andy Farrell is sat on a beach somewhere, I mean sat at his laptop somewhere working away saying, Simon, what the hell are you doing? I left you the keys to the house for the weekend. This was not part of the gig.
The temptation must be very, like, you text him one list and then your real list is like, all of the ringers.
Oh, did I not say
vultures.
I was? That was.
And like, we're just going to do. We're going to play Harlem Globetrotters for one Six Nations. You know, I like your point as always. It's the next job that you're picking the team for when you're trying to play a specific style of rugby.
I do think that as much as we're joking about obviously getting the keys to the weekend, I do think that there's like an uncertainty about the Irish team that comes back a little bit to the Leinster conversation that we were having earlier on. That I can't remember over the last number of years Ireland been in such an uncertain place heading into a Six Nations. Like, we could legitimately finish anywhere. I might be extending it to say fourth, but first, second, third, like, you know, you'd have said every team needs to be at their best.
Give us a quick power rankings there then. Give us the Adrian Barry TM power rankings.
Well, you know, I'm going to slightly go against myself and say Ireland number one. but listen, no, there is an uncertainty. There is an uncertainty. There absolutely is. This could look like mugs afterwards because, you know, there's a, you know, England are suddenly on the rise. Let's go France number one. Let's go Ireland number two.
England on the rise is a good time coming, be it ever so far away. As Dunphy would say, where's your evidence for that?
Where's your evidence? You're
where's
talking
evidence
about the on the basis of the Premiership stuff. Yeah, listen, fair enough.
On the basis of their international team have been shite.
Well, they haven't been as shite as we thought they were. That's really my basis for that. I'll go France number one. I'll go Ireland number two. I'll go England number three. Scotland, and then, like, whatever about the other two.
Italy, Wales.
Yeah.
Wales are bottom of the totem pole at the moment. I would go France, Ireland, Scotland is the top three, and then the bottom three fighting it out.
What sort of a forfeit can we do for I will go England finishing above Scotland?
I've already backed Scotland. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
Scotland. Now, the game is at Twickenham, but Scotland's record at Twickenham is actually quite good over the last decades. So,
take suggestions from the floor for a forfeit there. I do think...
Scots Wahey.
Huh?
Scots Wahey.
What's that?
It's a song. Okay. Scots Wahey with Wallace Bled. Scots when Bruce is often led, welcome to your gory bed.
It's not one of them.
Change or slavery.
Come up on my Spotify Rapture, I'm not going to lie. That's
yeah, you're a Celtic cousin.
Yeah.
For a man who spent a lot of time in Wales, you don't have a lot of love for Wales.
Honestly, the first thing that comes into my head there is getting a lot of abuse for being not Welsh, and friends that I had were not being Welsh and them also getting abuse for that. That's probably the first thing that comes into my head. I had a great time. I've Welsh friends for life.
Not the friendly abuse that you get from friends, like you would get kind of in the comfortable environment of the studio.
There was loads of that too, and that's all good. And I do have Welsh friends for life from my time there. But
some
equally,
of my best friends are Welsh.
There was a lot of. It was quite an international. It was Treforest, Pontypridd, right? Like Neil Jenkins' territory. Like when I started in
college, rural?
Neil Jenkins was the bank teller down the local bank in the middle of Pontypridd. No, it's just literally, it's like a 15-minute train ride outside of Cardiff. Not that rural in
a big
that
town?
Regard. Treforest to be a smaller village, and then Pontypridd to be a sort of bigger town.
That's like where the university was.
Two of them are connected. The university is in Treforest, but they're basically sort of one in the same place.
Can you
but
give no, us you, a, an, like an Irish equivalent in terms of... is it Athlone?
No, it wouldn't be that big. No, I'd have to have a look now. Pontypridd might only be 7,000 or 8,000 people.
All right.
And Treforest would be a very small place. But there was a lot of resentment from the local community towards people who were going to university. So you would find yourself.
Look at you getting an education. Who do you think you are?
Sometimes late at night. I had a couple of friends who were a couple of Indian lads. We had a house. There was two Welsh lads. It was butt of a joke, I'm sure, somewhere. Two Welsh lads, two Indian lads, and two Irish lads living in this house. And, you know, whatever combination would be out any given night. But you'd be coming home and the level of abuse that the two Indian lads used to get was absolutely brutal.
This is
like the worst.
Late 90s.
The worst of the worst. Exactly.
Mid to late 90s.
And oftentimes you'd step in and go, listen, you know, would you relax yourself and cut it out? F you, Paddy, you get back to where you came from as well. Bum, 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 bum. And it's like, you know.
This took a turn.
Huh? Yeah, well, listen, you know. That's the kind of, listen, I also have cousins who are like, this is not an anti-Welsh thing. I think it was very specific to a resentment from a lot of that local population for people, as you say, who are getting themselves an education. So what was the original question? I don't hate Wales, or I don't hate the Welsh people. But I will say,
when Ireland beat them in rugby, you're
We were chatting about it beforehand. I covered an awful lot of Six Nations, 2000s, 2010s. I was really surprised by leaving places like Twickenham, where you would walk out and, you know, it'd generally be, to be fair, after the major swell of fans, because you'd be in doing press conferences or whatever afterwards. But like, there'd be nothing but goodwill, because Ireland were actually in the habit of beating England at that time at Twickenham. But there'd be nothing good but goodwill. Well done. Hope you go on and win it. All that sort of stuff. You'd never feel that same vibe about Wales games, no matter what happened. Like, there was always just an absolute edge to them that, you know, you were not liked one way or the other. There's a parochial nature to Welsh life. I think probably they suffer from a lot of the same stuff that we do, of, you know, having the hot breath of the oppressor literally on their neck.
A lot of people there seem to enjoy that.
Absolutely.
The frisson of the hot breath on their neck. It's like, that's nice. I like that. Give me more of that.
Yeah.
All right, that also took a turn.